problem. Major problem, John.
What's that?
I've got the TV on, but I cannot find the remote control anywhere. And so you
that
are going
like you
just found it. Just found it. So we will turn down NFL Live and get you ready for Game 3 of the World Series. How you doing, man?
I'm good, and there is a ton going on. A ton going on. First of all, the Dodgers lineup's out. We'll get that to you in a second. It is World Series Game 3. I'm dumping. I know you already said that you think the Rays have the upper hand on paper in this game. You're scared of Charlie Morton. Just to spite you, I'm dumping 10 grand on Walker Buehler tonight in Mythical Money.
Wow.
10 grand on Walker Buehler.
Nice.
I feel great about the Dodgers. I just got to get the odds because I don't know. I'll go to pregame.com right now, but I you know, baseball betting is weird because you got to go, you got to figure in
minus.
The picture. Yeah. But whatever it is, I'll take Buehler and I will bet 10 grand, whatever that gets me, even if it doesn't get me a ton of money because I feel good. And did you hear the NBA news that came down within the last
half hour? I heard it. Yeah, we've got kind of
it's
a starting date officially,
to
right?
Look a lot like Christmas.
Boy, it is going to happen really, really fast, man.
I'm all
I mean,
for
this
it, man.
Is it's December the 22nd is the opener now for the NBA, right?
Well, they're talking about it. That's what they're kicking around. And I thought, Mace, that there was a chance they would push this. And here's why. Remember that the players get 50% of all revenue. Okay.
Yes.
All revenue. What we learned is that when you take these sports out of their respective seasons,
yep.
In other words, when you run the NBA finals up against the NFL.
Sure.
Ratings go down. You don't get your bang for your buck. Remember, every dollar that's made, the players get half. And Adam
sure.
Silver is so smart that I think he went to the players and said, look, we can give you guys more of a break, but you're not going to make as much money. We're going to run, the season's going to run into August. You guys are all out of the Olympics. We should do what we can do to get back on our calendar. And I think that's what this is. I think they're going to play, instead of 82, I think they're going to play 70 to 72 games. That gives them all of January. It gets February. It protects their all-star game. I hope this happens.
Here's the thing, though. Wait a minute, John. Wait a minute. Does this mean that they are going to go back into a bubble?
I don't know. I've heard everything from full bubble, which is what they did in Orlando, to regional bubble. In other words, maybe have four regional sites, maybe one in Las Vegas, one somewhere in Texas, one somewhere in Florida, one somewhere in the Northeast. I've heard in their own arenas with no fans. I've heard in their own arenas with limited fans. So I think it's all being negotiated.
So supposedly, there's at least one NBA team that is experimenting by using this rapid testing, the idea of being able to get fans tested and into the arena in time for a game. It would be a process. It would take some time. You'd have to get to the game early. But to me, that's an unbelievable opportunity if you can put in the safest way possible fans into an arena for an NBA game. I mean, it would be a shame to go another year without fans getting a chance to be part of this, but it just doesn't seem to be trending to, hey, we're 100% clear. So if that's the case, maybe this rapid testing can figure into the way they fill their arenas.
Well, I know the Lakers, because we get updates from the Lakers all the time, the Lakers are at the mercy of local health officials.
So
they wanted to do that, they would have to get it okayed by state and local officials. And so it's a dance. You've got to kind of go through a checklist. Even if you wanted to do that, your governor has to kind of get on board.
Yeah.
With it. I'll give you an
example.
And I
mean, if you look at it, about half of NFL teams are allowing any fans in right now. So there are regulations in multiple states now that include not allowing there to be gatherings of that size. But there are half of NFL teams where they are allowing fans in.
Right. But I'll give you an example of something that happened a couple days ago. The governor, Gavin Newsom, in California, gave the 49ers and the Giants and the A's the right to bring fans back into the building. And almost immediately, Santa Clara County put the kibosh on the 49ers. They said, no, we're not going with that. We think that we're still potentially in position to get a spike. I don't care what the governor says. The county is overruling him. So there's a lot of that going on. You know, like,
yeah.
And the Niners were disappointed. They wanted to start getting fans in. We're in Los Angeles considered level one, which means we're not getting fans in anytime soon. I don't think fans are coming in October or November, and maybe not even at all in 2020. Until we get off of this level one. So anyway, that's the news about the Lakers. Could start as early as a few days before Christmas.
Fantastic. Because we're going to need something. As I was talking to Lindsay today, I'm like, all of a sudden we're going to go from the NBA playoffs and the NBA finals to the World Series, and then a slack period. Although we got plenty of football. Pac-12 is coming back. There's a lot of stuff going on. But then the NBA coming back that fast, that's going to be exciting.
All right, so now back to the Dodgers, which is the big story of the day. Game three tonight, that's where you are, in Arlington. Did you hold true to your word? Have you not left your hotel room since the show ended yesterday, and you have no plans to do so until you leave for the game this afternoon?
It is a fact that I was in my room last night. I did not go. I was going to go out and paint the town beige, but I didn't get the chance to do that. Instead,
what about today? Did you leave your room at any point today other than to go to the vending machines?
I walked downstairs. I'm not hitting the vending machines anymore. Thanks, Chris Morales. I'm not hitting the vending machines anymore. I did walk down and get a coffee from Starbucks, and that was it. Came back to the room, chugged that. And
is there a Starbucks in the hotel, or did you have to venture into the city? Okay.
There's one of those pseudo kind of Starbucks in the hotel. It's not like an official Starbucks, but it's like a hotel Starbucks, and it's good. It's good. But no, I have created a bubble for myself. that's exactly, it's the Mason bubble.
Now tell me, I've got news for you about tonight that may cause you stress or concern. Now, it would not cause me any stress or concern.
Don't cause me stress. Why are you causing me stress?
Well, you tell me if it does or not. All right? It just came down.
Okay.
Roof will be closed for the first time since the Dodgers started playing there. So you're now in a giant enclosed room. There is no open air because they're expecting cold temperatures and perhaps even some precipitation. So roof closed for game three. Does that freak you out?
No, that does not. Well, there's so much space between me and anybody else in the auxiliary press box that I'm not afraid of that. And by the way, it's cold here. Yesterday or 2 days ago when it was game two, it was hot, man. I was walking back. It was in the 80s after the game. And today it's in the 50s right now. So it's going to be a cold, cold night. I understand why they're closing the roof, because it's going to be cold by Dallas standards, I would think. And so, yeah, but I mean, I've got so much space between me and everybody else, John. I mean, they've done a good job of the media. You're not allowed to sit with each other. Like, I see Beto Duran and he's like a row away and he's like a row behind me and 10 seats down. Hey, Beto, what's going on down there? Fine down here, Beto. I mean, that's really what the state that we are in right now. They've done a really good job. The one thing I'll say is that the moment you step outside the stadium, lots of people without masks. Inside the stadium, a fair amount of compliance. I would say about half the people are wearing their masks. So it is not 100%, and the ushers are not being airtight on it and saying, hey, wait a minute, you put your mask on. I mean, I'm not trying to be somebody. I tweeted this out during game two. I said about half the people here are wearing masks, and I got a bunch of people comparing me to being a Karen. you're being such a Karen. And I was like, I'm not telling people to put their masks on.
You're not alerting authorities. You're just making a random observation. All
right. Yeah, exactly.
The Dodgers lineup's out. You want me to throw it at you, or you want to take a break first?
Let's take a break. Give me the Dodgers lineup next, and then a stunning stat about tonight's starting pitchers. Again, I'm live in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for World Series game number three. That's Walker Buehler tonight versus Charlie Morton in what is an absolute showdown and a critical, critical game.
Okay, by the way, let me get this in there. I just looked it up. Okay. Buehler is minus 147. All right.
Okay.
So somebody tweet Twitter at Venice Mays, Twitter at LA Ireland. What does that mean? If I bet 10 grand in mythical money on Walker Buehler being one and the Dodgers being -147, what do I get? Somebody fill me in on that.
Yeah. That means you bet 147 to win 100.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, I'm in Arlington. I'll be at the game tonight. Going to be at all the games, and I'm live from Arlington. Thanks to Coors Light Mountain Cold Refreshment, keeping California chill. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, yeah. World Series game number 3 is tonight. Mason and Ireland show. I'm live from Arlington, Texas. I'll be at the Globe Life Field tonight for the game. John's back in L.A. By the way, we've got the game for you tonight. Dan Schulman with the call here at 5 o'clock on 710 ESPN. Tonight after the game, Travis Rogers will do a post-game show. I'll ring into the post-game show. So a really big night. You don't need to, as Morales would say, touch the dial all day long.
Yeah.
Now, John, you said the lineup is officially
out. All right, so here we go. This is the Dodger lineup tonight. It is right, left, right, left, right, left, all the way through. Okay?
Okay.
Betts leading off, Seager batting second, Justin Turner third, Max Muncy fourth, Will Smith fifth as the DH,
wow.
Cody Bellinger sixth, Cody Bellinger seventh, Chris Taylor eighth, Jock Peterson ninth. Mace, the one thing that's interesting about this is Will Smith as the DH. If you would have let Will Smith catch, you know, Austin
yep.
Barnes is the guy they rotated out.
Yep.
But it seems that
this has been what they've been doing. I mean, they've been putting Will Smith either in the
Austin
five
Barnes,
spot or the
I,
sixth
I,
spot
I,
in
I
the
just,
lineup.
I take that back. Austin Barnes is batting ninth. I shouldn't have said rotated out. So he's batting ninth. But you tell me. Austin Barnes is traditionally in the postseason not a good hitter. He is a 194
yes.
batting average in the postseason. But
yep.
in the first round, this year he's a little better. In the first round this year against Milwaukee, he played one game, he was 2-for-3. Against San Diego, he played one game, he was 2-for-3. Against Atlanta, he had 7 at-bats, and again, he got 2 hits.
Okay, can
and
I just point
Tampa,
out, Austin,
he's 0-for-5. So in
Austin,
these playoffs,
Austin,
he's been pretty good.
Austin Barnes is batting .353 in the playoffs.
Right. So do
he's actually, he's a guy you want in the lineup if you can get him in there. .353.
Well, ahead of Kike?
Yeah, I love Kike, but I also love those guys coming off the bench. I love Kike off the bench. I think he
Kike
is a
and
devastating
Pollock
pinch
now
hitter.
Now are your pinch hitters, your best pinch hitters coming off the bench. You could go to Matt Beatty.
Along with Edwin Rios,
Edwin
Rios,
think,
right?
If you went, well, Beatty and Rios are the left-handers. Pollock and Kike are the righties. I just don't want to see another game like 2 nights ago where they don't get a hit for the first 3 innings.
Right.
I think you need to score, and you need to score early. Now, Mace, I said this the other night, and I turned out to be wrong, but I've got to be right about it tonight. This is a low-scoring game, right? Buehler and Morton? This is the
yeah,
over-under.
This is a low-scoring
the over-under
game.
Is 7. I would bet the under if I had to.
Yeah, they have combined. Here's Charlie Morton, .57 ERA in the postseason. Walker Buehler, .89 ERA in the postseason. A combined 1.30 ERA heading into tonight's game. So I think we're going to see. I don't think anybody's necessarily going to score in the early going. I mean, I think you're going to see 4 or 5 innings out of both of those guys before they turn it over to the bullpen. And it would not surprise me if we were in a scoreless game going into the fifth. And you know, because I'm saying that, it'll probably be 8-7 by that point.
Right. All right.
Because there's no way to tell. Now, the one thing I wanted to point out, John, and this is this is one of the things that makes tonight so important. 17 of the last 22 teams to win game three after a 1-1 start went on to win the World Series. That means tonight's winner has a 77% chance of winning it all.
Boy, if the Rays win tonight, I'm going to dump a bunch more mythical money on the Dodgers. I don't think the Dodgers are losing this series. I just don't. I think that this is...
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either. I think they're going to win the series. I think, but I don't, I've thought all along it's a long series. I felt all along that this is a series that's going to go some time, that we're going to worry about a game six or worry about a game seven. Game six, by the way, would be Tuesday, and game seven would be Wednesday next week. I could be in Dallas all that time.
We get, for sure, we get a game tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. We get games every day this weekend.
Yeah, we get Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm excited for that. I'm you know what, John, being at the World Series, and I've gotten a chance to go to Super Bowls, both as fan and media. I've gotten a chance to go to just about every major sporting event.
Yeah, you've been to the NBA Finals. You've been to NBA the Stanley Finals. Cup Finals.
This is my fourth World Series.
You've been to the Olympics.
A lot of Olympics, seven Olympics. You know what? The World Series is different, and I'm glad that the weather changed today. I don't like the World Series being played in 80 degrees. I like there to be a crisp World Series, crisp weather. I did the World Series 1 year with Vin Scully and Jeff Torborg for CBS, and it was that Indians-Marlins series. You remember that one?
Right, that the Marlins ended up winning.
Marlins ended up winning, and I remember being in the box
Sheffield was on that team.
Yes, he was. I remember being in the box with Vin, and Vin, for the first time ever I saw him, it was really cold in Cleveland, was wearing a ski cap. I was like, that's Vin Scully wearing a ski cap. That's how cold it is, with the big windows open.
Well, but tonight you're going to be climate controlled. You're going to be in an indoor building. They're putting their clothes on the roof.
Yeah, it won't be cold inside, but it'll be cold outside. I'm walking like a mile and a half to the ballpark and a mile and a half back from the ballpark. So it's going to be double hoodie weather. It's going to be double hoodie weather tonight. But I could not be more excited to be at the World Series. And people have said, are you having fun? You're not going out and seeing Dallas and all that stuff. You know, the truth is, I've seen Dallas. It's a nice town. I'm not crazy about Dallas. I don't love going out in Dallas. And the situation dictates that you just play it safe. I'm in my bubble. I go from hotel. And by the way, this is exactly what players are doing. You know what players are doing, John? They are in full uniform going to their buses and in full uniform going back to their hotel.
Yeah, that's the way the NBA did it, too.
So you change, you don't shower at the ballpark. You shower when you get home and change out of your cleats and your uniform. So they're being very careful, and they're really going hotel, ballpark, hotel, ballpark. I think it's the smart way to go, and it's absolutely working. And, you know, this baseball has done, after a couple of outbreaks early in the 60-game season, after a couple of early outbreaks, they've really come around and players have become very disciplined. And I think just like in the NBA, players have to have a complete buy-in into all of the protocols. If they don't, and this is the problem the NFL is having, guys are not necessarily keeping themselves in a personal bubble. Or they're not necessarily following all the protocols. Players in the Major League Baseball have been very, very disciplined, and NFL players are going to have to get more disciplined if they expect this season to go on with any degree of success. But baseball has done a really good job in dealing with COVID and keeping everybody healthy.
Well, and this is one of the few instances ever where social media actually helps everybody. Because everybody's got a camera in their pocket. If one of the players was to go out, and by the way, I disagree with you that Dallas isn't a fun town. I know I've had a blast in Dallas.
It's totally fun. But I mean, it's a town.
Yeah, but there's places you can go that I've been that are very fun. And if a player were to walk in to one of those places, you know he would get exposed.
But I mean, John, in fairness, you stay at 5-star hotels when you go on the road. I'm staying at the Sheraton. You know, I'm staying at a very, very modest hotel.
Yeah, but wouldn't that
hotel.
Be a reason for me to do what you're doing, to stay in the hotel? When I go out.
John, my view out the window is a Cracker Barrel.
What's wrong with Cracker Barrel?
Look, there's a Cracker Barrel.
I like Cracker Barrel.
Where's the Waffle House?
Waffle House is fantastic. Didn't you see Tin Cup?
I haven't seen a Waffle House yet, but I have seen. I'm tempted to go down to the Cracker Barrel. I've never eaten at a Cracker Barrel.
I have. It's great. I used to live in Texas. Yeah, it's awesome. Well,
I may roll over there this weekend. I may roll over there. And by the way, now I'm getting all kinds of. It's a piece of cake. I'm getting
cake.
Oprah yelling, "You get a cake, and you get a cake." I'm getting all kinds of cake. This is not a cake series, guys.
Hey, Mace, think about this.
Yeah.
Today's Friday. By Monday, the Dodgers may win their first World Series since 1988.
It's true.
By Monday.
Oh, God, that's the perfect scenario, John. Your scenario is the one I'm rooting for.
On Sunday night. Come on, man. We get into all that secret crap you believe. Secret this.
I am going to secret
it Sunday night.
But you can see why I'm a little gun shy after what's happened the two of the last 3 years.
Yeah, you are Schleprock. Wherever you go, dark clouds follow. But literally tonight, there are dark clouds over the stadium tonight.
I am bringing home this world championship,
not
John.
Even
I'm bringing home the World Series.
Yes, not even you can screw this up.
Excellent.
It started with the Lakers. It's coming now with the Dodgers. L.A., City of Champions. Let's go.
No question. All right. Coming up next for Carl Ravitch from ESPN is going to join us, get his take on what's going on in the World Series. Game 3 is tonight. It is Walker Buehler on the mound for the Dodgers versus Charlie Morton. And after George and LZ tonight, we will have the game for you. Dan Shulman on the call, Dodgers versus Rays, World Series game number 3, 5 o'clock. And followed by that, Travis Rogers is doing a post-game show. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is not a cakewalk.
I just heard you say it was.
It's not a cakewalk, John.
Tape doesn't
this
lie.
Is a,
you just said cake. It's a cakewalk.
This is a tough series. We'll all have Please. Cake when it's over. I respect Tampa too much to look past
the cake.
Them.
Why are you respecting the cake?
I love that we've completely changed places. I respect the Miami Heat before, and now I'm a respect the Tampa guy.
Please. My grandparents used to live in Tampa. There's nothing there but old people. No respect for them. Respect the cake.
There are some older, very heavyweight people staying in my hotel who happen to be Tampa fans.
Oh,
they're heavyweights. Yeah.
Meaning they're overweight or they're rich?
They probably eat at Cracker Barrel a lot.
Okay, I got you.
Probably. We're expecting a call from Carl Ravitch here any minute. You know what I want to get to is the fact that tomorrow in game number 4, which is going to be critical now, Julio Urias is going to be in a really interesting spot. He gave us those 3 no-hit innings back in the NLCS game number 7. And now he's moving into the starting spot. I think he is going to have a monster game tomorrow.
That's an interesting matchup, Mace. The guy pitching for Tampa in that game, Ryan Yarbrough, is like a complete rags to riches story. He signed for almost nothing. He went to Old Dominion, and then he drove his old car to Tampa and made the team in 2018. And tomorrow, I think he signed for $40,000, which is nothing. And now he's going to start against Julio Urias, and Urias is kind of a cool story too. He came out of Mexico. Remember, he had eye surgery 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he didn't know if he'd be able to see out of that eye, and now they've fixed it and he can see. And I think when the Dodgers found him, he said he was 17. He's one of the youngest players in the World Series. That's a really good matchup between two guys who you never would have projected 5 years ago would have been there.
Yeah, no, not at all. And he's one of the young guns that Andrew Friedman is betting on. That's why, you know, we talked about yesterday the fact that the Dodgers are one starter short. You know, I wonder what would have happened if, and I was thinking about this last night, did they make a mistake by going to that bullpen game. I think, Jorge, do we have A-Rod talking about that? I think so. A-Rod talked about the fact that
made a mistake yesterday by going bullpen. I would have loved to see Walker Buehler keep the momentum. The Yankees won game one against them 9-3. They came into the bullpen game in game two. Tampa Bay won, and, you know, Yankees are home, and Tampa Bay is playing for a world championship. So my only thing for the Dodgers is if you get momentum again, put them away. Do not mess around. Three-game rest is okay in the postseason. I think it actually pitchers can pitch better because they're not as charged up. But I still like the Dodgers in six or seven.
And by the way, I disagree with him. I don't think you throw Walker Buehler in game two on short rest. I think you throw him on full rest. He's young. He's not been in that situation before. He's dealing with the blister issue. I think it would have been a mistake to go with Walker Buehler in game two. I like this matchup a lot. I wonder what would have happened if Dave Roberts would have just said, Dustin May, you're the starter for game two. Go out there and do it. I wonder if it would have been a different story. Instead, Dustin May was inserted into the middle of the game and got lit up. Do you think he might have been different if he was in that settled role as being a starter?
Maybe, but I think pitching is pitching. You know, this was the old argument in the NBA where if you bring a guy off the bench, is he going to be a different player than if you start him? I think once the game starts, you just start playing. So I don't put as much emphasis on that as you do. By the way, I disagree with A-Rod too. Did you hear what he said at the end there? He still thinks Dodgers in six or seven. It's Dodgers in five. Cake!
Cake! Do you have the whoosh sound too?
I don't. Well, Jorge had a good one on tape, but well, do it for me so I could.
Okay. This is the way it officially goes.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. I don't do it as loud as you.
No, you don't.
I got to get mine louder.
You do. You need to really tune that up.
Yeah, that was me, right? That was just on tape, though. That might have been you.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. By the way, I own the rights to whoosh. I trademarked whoosh.
You should break it out because it's coming home this weekend.
And then Clayton Kershaw. What a storybook finish would that be if Clayton Kershaw wraps it up in game four. Game five goes 2-0 and wins the deciding game. Doesn't that get the monkey off his back for good?
Hell yeah. And probably gives him World Series MVP if he has two wins, two of the four.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody else is standing out at the moment. Nobody else is standing out at the moment from the plate. People have had good moments.
Mookie was the star of game one, but.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, if you had to guess, if the Dodgers win it, it would be one of those two guys. Maybe Seager.
Yeah, maybe Seager. Seager hit that home run the other night. Will Smith has got a home run. Chris Taylor's got a home run. I mean, they're hitting bombs in a ballpark, and I mentioned this yesterday, but the Dodgers, because they played a couple of games here during the regular season, and they played now a total of 15 games this year at Globe Life Park, they have hit 27 home runs. The Rangers in 60 games only hit 30 home runs in this park. So the Dodgers are – they almost have – it's weird – because they've played here so long, they almost have a home field advantage.
I disagree in the sense that, let's get Carl Ravitch's opinion on that. Carl from ESPN, nice enough to join us now. Carl, thank you for doing this, man. How are you holding up?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
So good, man. Exciting.
Let's jump in right there. The Dodgers have been playing a lot at Globe Life, but that's an American League park, so the Rays play there all the time during the regular season. It seems like a wash to me. What do you think?
Well, it just opened, so they haven't, they haven't played there because you only played your East. So they didn't get a chance to play that ballpark. They played in the ballpark at Arlington, but this is a new yard. Look, I don't think the Dodgers played enough games to gain an advantage in any way. I think tonight it's neutralized their experience by the fact that the roof is closed and the runs are down two runs per game when the roof is closed. I do know this. I mean, any player, manager, anybody that was there does say there's a decided Los Angeles Dodger advantage just as far as the fans in the stands. There's, there's 90% Dodgers and 10% Rays fans. So there is an advantage that way.
Yeah, Carl, I'm going to the games, and Let's Go Dodgers is a very, you can hear it very, very right. clearly at critical times during the game. Hey, what did you think of Dave Roberts and the way he handled his pitching in game two?
Yeah. It's a good question because I, at first I was curious. It was different. I don't know that there's a role here for Dustin May that they're comfortable with. And I think it's a difficult thing for them to figure out. I think the idea that he's given up a run now in three consecutive appearances, similarly with Anderson on the other side, five straight games. I think that the season is catching up to a lot of guys. The idea that we're playing every day until we get to the World Series. And again, I hesitate to really criticize managers because, look, when Kevin Cash came out and took Charlie Morton out of a game in which he'd given up two hits, had two outs, and there were two on in the sixth inning. Look, I said, really? Like, this is craziness. And it worked. So I'm skeptical on kind of punching managers when it comes to pitching decisions because they may have information that we don't with regards to players, et cetera, et cetera. I just don't think that they have figured out the role for May, and as a result, it makes things difficult for them.
Carl Ravitch from ESPN joining us. Carl, you cover baseball year-round. We kind of cover everything. So you'll have more insight on this than we do. And we really haven't talked a lot about it on our show. But it amazes me that Tampa is even here. And I say that because you look at the Yankees, you look at the Red Sox, you just look at the division they're in, and their payroll is so just radically lower. And this isn't the only year they've been good. I mean, they've been doing this since Andrew Friedman was down there. How do they do this? What is it that allows them to not only compete with teams with much bigger payrolls, but to do it year in and year out?
Right. And look, they'll tell you it's their system, and their system is to identify, in a sense, market inefficiencies. And that also means how these players are being used by their old teams. And they will say, wow, they didn't use Brandon Lau correctly. They didn't use Mike Zunino correctly. We think that the way we use them, we're going to squeeze the most out of that orange. My difficulty in accepting all of that is you hear Kevin Cash and Eric Neander say, you know, what we do is we put our players in the best position to succeed, almost suggesting that 29 other teams don't do that. That is exactly what every other team is trying
to
do,
right?
Put our players in the best position to succeed. They all use similar numbers. But in the Rays case, I think what they do well is they do identify players that other teams either don't maximize, don't use, because they have guys that may play more innings, may pitch more innings, may be used in high leverage situations. You know, they discover Nick Anderson, who'd been released by an independent league, for crying out loud, and he's become one of the more effective relievers in baseball. They hit on a lot of their players, where I think a lot of organizations will spend money on big free agents. And, you know, for the most part, exclusive of the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox, maybe the Cubs and Cardinals, if you miss on your big acquisitions, you don't have the ability to make up for it. They hit on most of theirs, and they're not hitting at a price that allows them or doesn't allow them to acquire other talent. They're really good at evaluating. They're really good at understanding some of the inefficiencies of a player somewhere else, and believing we can turn that guy around. And they are good at it. And they believe in it. And you keep a guy like Kiermaier around, and he fits the system, and there's a culture there. There's no doubt that there's a culture there. And it works as long as you bring the right player into that culture.
Yeah, and Andrew Friedman's doing very much the same. I mean, he goes and discovers Max Muncy, he discovers Chris Taylor. Jake McGee got released by the Rockies. Guys, he's become a valuable bullpen piece.
You guys know the difference between the Dodgers and the Rays, I think it's going to bear out, is a $200 million in their payroll. I mean, look, the Dodgers are a better team. They have better players. You name the top five players in this World Series. Is there any Ray on that list?
Maybe a Rosarena.
Maybe Charlie Morton.
Really? Maybe Charlie Morton. You would have said Randy or Rosarena prior to the postseason?
No, no way. That? No way. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Carl, in regards to tonight, just game three tonight, Morton's ERA is microscopic. Bueller's ERA is right next to him. Bueller, if he wasn't pitching against Morton, would be the story. I mean, you just mentioned the roof is closed, which means traditionally numbers go down. I know that stealing bases and hit and run, all that stuff is out the window in baseball in 2020. But I think we could see it tonight, right? Like if Mookie gets on early and Tampa stole a lot of bases this year comparatively, could one or two runs be produced old school way tonight, do you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, you know, we certainly have made the case, and I think I've seen, you know, even after game one and on Baseball Tonight, we asked the question, is Mookie Betts the most impactful non-pitcher in Major League Baseball? And now you're starting to see others kind of come out and say he's not only the most impactful, he is now the best player in Major League Baseball. Mookie Betts won game one with his legs, and he's won games with defense. So, yeah, sure, Mookie Betts gets on. And he's got Morton over there. Of course you can see him running. We saw the Rays score without hitting all home runs. I know Lau hit two, but they scored runs by hitting the baseball on the ground and moving runners. So it can happen. Tonight is such a great, great game and a great opportunity for baseball fans. While it's old school, isn't it interesting? If you were to ask either Cash or Roberts, give me your ideal pitching scenario tonight. And think about asking that question to a manager, I don't know, 6 years ago. And you had guys like that on the mound. The answer is going to be, I'd love to see a complete game out of Charlie Morton. I'd love to see Walker Buehler give me 8 or 9 innings. Now you know the answer is, God, I'd love to see Charlie Morton give me 6 innings.
And yeah, wow.
Let me get my bolt. If it's, let me see Walker Buehler give me 5, maybe 6. And it has changed so radically. And these guys both have the ability, if they're taken out in the sixth inning, the score could be 0-0. They could have 9 strikeouts each. And, you know, more than likely they're coming out of the game. And then it becomes the battle of the bullpens. So, yeah, I think it's really, really an important, critical, it's obvious swing game. And you have these two guys who were the two best pitchers on their staffs, with all due respect to Glasnow and Snell.
Yeah, no question about that. It should be a really, really fun night. Carl, thank you very much for coming on. I know you're incredibly busy at this time of year during the baseball playoffs, but unbelievable insight, and thank you for taking the time.
Anytime for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you,
Carl. All right, thanks, Carl. Carl Ravitch there, who says, calls tonight a swing game. It is a swing game.
Cake.
It's a critical game.
Cake.
It's a swing game.
Piece of cake.
If they win tonight, John, if the Dodgers win tonight, I think your scenario of a 5-game series is very, very possible.
I may send a cake to your hotel room if the Dodgers
win
tonight.
Yes.
With my 6,800, one of the listeners figured it out. Thank you. I'm betting 10 grand to win 6,800. I know it's a bad value bet. I don't care. Walker Buehler tonight, bring on the cake.
All right, coming up next for you. John, last night there was a magical moment in the football game. It involved...
It reminded me of you.
It is a little me. Daniel Jones had a great moment. We actually have a number of play-by-play calls of this particular... if you've not heard it, it's really funny. Daniel Jones... couldn't quite make it to the end zone. We'll get to that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. I'm live in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for game number 3 of the World Series. It is Charlie Morton on the mound for the Tampa Rays. versus Walker Buehler for the Dodgers. And we got more of that coming up for you. Make sure you stay tuned. The scoop is coming up next for you. All the stuff that we haven't talked about yet. But last night there was a very memorable moment in what would otherwise be a forgettable Thursday night football game between two bad teams, the Eagles and the New York Football Giants.
So this play you're going to talk about, I did not see live. I was watching the debate.
Yes.
But my Twitter timeline blew up with, oh, Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones with an exclamation point. I can't believe Daniel Jones just did that. So I thought Daniel Jones did something good. And he kind of did. He was inside his own 20. Okay, so he had the ball, I think, on like the 12-yard line. And he's fast for a quarterback. He's as fast as some of the linebackers.
Yeah, he can scramble, yeah.
So he took off through a hole, and he's got nothing but daylight. I was calling it on the radio, I would have been 50, 40, 30, 20, all the way till he gets to the end zone. But he did not get to the end zone, did he?
No, he did not quite get there, John. And we've got a number of descriptions of this very memorable moment. Now, Jorge,
What's important to point out here is there is no defender anywhere near him.
Correct.
He is
it's wide open.
In open field towards the end zone. There's nothing between Daniel Jones and the goal line. He's basically running down the field to score a touchdown. And, you'll hear what happens.
Yeah, you'll hear what happened. So, Jorge, do you have Ian Eagle? Let's start with Ian Eagle from Westwood One.
But they're playing to the scouting report. Shotgun formation. Jones fakes it. Now he runs. He's got a huge hole. 25-30. And there he goes. Daniel Jones stumbles down at the 15. He could not get there. Running out of gas. Jones had nothing but green grass in front of him. And that typifies what this has been all about. He is down at the 8.
Oh,
just priceless. Now here's the Spanish language call. This is from Fox Deportes.
La verdad que un gran jugador. Va por tierra otra vez, pero el engaño es con Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones se quiere ir. Se puede ir. Y se fue. No. El balón se cayó, se tropezó, vio la zona festiva y estaba celebrando.
Jorge, what did he say?
He's not going in. He's almost. Oh, he tripped. He fell. He didn't make it. And that was Adrian Garcia Marquez again.
It sounds.
Oh,
like
that was Adrian.
Adrian. Yeah.
Okay, here's the last one. This is the Giants local radio call. This is Bob Papa.
Handoff. Nope, Jones is going to keep it. Jones is going to run it. Jones across midfield. It's a foot race. Can he go all the way? Daniel Jones to the 20, and he stumbles, and he falls down at the 10.
The turf monster got him. Stumbling, rumbling, bumbling, and he falls down.
He was on his way. Oh, man, Carl.
Rebels wobble, but they don't fall down.
I love the turf monster got him. It was the turf monster.
I have one more.
One more. Who's this?
From the 12, Jones keeps, gets a block, takes off, and he is gone. Trying to stay upright, and he trips. Absolutely all alone, and he trips going to the end zone and ends up carrying it as it is for 80. But a walking touchdown, and he tripped himself.
He's reading Brandon Graham out there, and then he takes it, and once he does and pulls it, there's just nobody left. Even Evan Ingram is out there blocking, and this is the only way he doesn't score.
That is just priceless. That was Joe Buck, I think, on the call right?
That's what it was. Yep.
Yeah. The moment is so good, we brought you 4 play-by-play calls of it. And a lot of people have immediately started tweeting me with the video of me and the mace plant, the celebrity basketball game that we had, and the very hard foul that I got from Corey Maggette that knocked me to the ground onto my face.
You pulled a Daniel Jones. Yours was worse because at least Daniel Jones had people chasing him.
Right. Well, the other thing?
You just fell down like a drunk.
Daniel Jones had a helmet on. That also helps an awful lot. I was wearing no helmet.
That is true. I'm surprised you weren't more seriously injured, actually, with that fall.
I was concussed, and I got a stitch in my lip. But other than that, I was pretty good. It stunned me. It stunned me for a while. And you know, I went back into that game, Mamba mentality. I went back into that game, John, even after the mace plant.
Did you score any points?
No.
Yeah,
no. I went out there. I said, put me out there just for 2 minutes so I can say I went back into the game after that. And I think our coach was Jason Collins. And Jason
Great
Collins
guy.
Said, sure, yeah, go. Don't kill yourself. Yeah. Have Adam. That was an awesome, awesome moment for me. But a great moment for Daniel Jones. Will that go down historically as comical and memorable as the butt fumble for Mark Sanchez?
I think so. But, you know, the Giants did end up scoring after that. They scored a touchdown after that. So it wasn't – maybe that'll take some of the sting out of it. They did blow the game. They blew the game at the end. And Jones actually made a great pass. After the debate, I flipped over there for the end of the game, and he threw a pass to Evan Engram that would have locked up the game, and Engram dropped it. And Carson Wentz brought the Eagles back from 14 down to win that. But no, so I think it'll be the Giants version of the butt fumble.
Yeah, I think so. So the Giants and the Jets each get a great moment like that. All right. Again, I'm live in Arlington, Texas, getting ready for Game 3 of the World Series tonight. You'll hear it right here on 710 ESPN, followed by the Travis Rogers postgame show, which I will make an appearance on as well tonight after the game. And coming up next for you is The Scoop, all the stuff in sports that we haven't talked about yet. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.